Today is Sexagesima Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas you yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part, wherein if any man desire I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as of one less wise, I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in death often. Of the Jews, five times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is scandalized, and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas, the king guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man of Christ, in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such an one wrapped even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise, and heard secret words which it is not granted to man to utter. For such an one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing, but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say to the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And other some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. Another fell upon good ground, and being sprung up, yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh, and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Today, as we come during this preparation for Lent, during this season of Septuagesima, we see the parable that our Lord gives regarding the different kinds of soil upon which seed is sown. And of course, we would like to think of ourselves as being the good ground on which it is sown. But unfortunately, there are many situations which pull us away from what we ought to do. It's a difficulty that we have living in the times we have in part, but also due to in part to the weakness of human nature. And of course, the temptations from the enemy as well. We see this parable now at this point in time as we prepare for Lent so as to be such that we dispose ourselves for the graces that are meant during the season of Lent. That we maybe can make it so that the soil on which the Word of God comes, the soil upon which His message comes is cultivated so it's ready to receive it, so that it's apt to receive God's word, so that it is such that it's disposed to receive God's word. It's important for us to understand what it is that God wants to give to us, how He wants to help us in order that we might save our souls. You know, we are here at Mass, which is a good thing. That's the first step, to be here, to start things off. But then there's also the question of what we're doing while we're here. Physical presence doesn't make it so that we have salvation. Physical presence means we're here, no more, no less. We're physically here. But the question, of course, is our minds and our hearts. Where are they? What are we doing? Are we here because it's a social thing? Are we here because our parents made us? Ho-hum, when's this Mass going to be over with? When is this boring sermon going to be over with? What are we doing during this time? Do we just kind of zone out during the sermon so that we don't have to pay attention, but we just kind of get through this? Then after Mass is over, then we can enjoy ourselves and have fun doing what we'd like to do the rest of Sunday. What is going on, first of all? Well, basically, and essentially, what we're seeing is we're seeing that same sacrifice that our Lord offered on Calvary when He suffered His passion. It's that same sacrifice. It's identically the same. The only difference is the manner is different. The fact is that it's an unbloody manner versus a bloody manner. And the purpose of the Mass is to make it present for us here today. So why is that so important? Why is that so important? It's important because it is the means of our salvation. And not only do we witness it, but we need to participate in that sacrifice. Our Lord is the head of the mystical body. We are the members of that mystical body. And we need to participate in that sacrifice, not just during Mass, but in our daily activities, in our daily lives. You know, with the advent of the new liturgy that came out, the new Mass, the Novus Ordo Missae, in 1969, there was a shift. There was a modification in the way the Mass was offered. in such a way that it was not nearly as clear that this was truly a sacrifice going on. And so we've stuck to our guns and said, well, no, we can't go with the modern changes, because the modern changes reflect the ideas of the modern world as well. But it's also true that the ideas of the modern world are not only transmitted to us by the liturgy. There are other avenues in which the modern world tries to come into our lives, many different ways. The liturgy is one of them. And so although we are such that we make efforts and make sacrifices in order to make sure that we come to the Mass of all times, and attend that Mass and assist at that Mass, we also have to understand that there are other ways in which the world can come into our lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the means by which we are tempted from the outside. Tempted to do things that we should not do, to live according to the maxims of the world. The liturgy is one way in which this comes in through the modern liturgy, the new Mass, but it's also through all of the other things that the modern world tries to put before us as adults, but before us as youth, as we grow up. And they try to make us buy into what the modern world is all about, and to try to adopt the ideas and the maxims of the world. And this is what we have in the gospel, the different ways in which the modern world comes in and makes it so that it spoils the soil on which the word of God is supposed to be imposed, which is received. It makes it so that it's not received properly, so that seeing we do not see and hearing we do not hear. It poisons us in a certain way. It's oftentimes said in a society which has prosperity and has a lot of good things, materially speaking, people close their minds to this supernatural. People get all intent upon the things of the world and they forget about God, and God is not their priority. Yes, they give token acknowledgement, but the interests are elsewhere. The interests are elsewhere. It's interesting that St. Paul, when he went to Greece and he tried to preach to the Athenians, those in Athens, he knew that they were an educated group of people. And so he tried to speak to them about the sublimity of Christian doctrine. He spoke to them. He tried to convince them to convert. But even though it was very eloquent, it was very well said, it didn't convert. He saw it didn't have its effect. And so after having no luck trying to convert them by preaching to them about the sublimity of the doctrine, he comes to the conclusion, I will preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's the basic message. It's the basic message that we will hear during Lent. And it's the kind of thing that we need to be such that it has to be our focus, has to be central in what we're doing. You know, it's interesting to read the epistle. It's rather lengthy today. It's all about the trials and difficulties of St. Paul, all of the difficulties that he endured throughout his life as being one, an apostle of Christ. In that epistle, he's showing that how he is identified to the cross of Christ, how he's united to that by his sufferings. And that is what we need to do in our lives. We need to have the cross as our center and focus. It has to be what we are concentrating on, uniting ourselves to that cross. It's why the prominence of the Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, It's meant to be our focus, focal point. It's meant to be a place where we concentrate on and think about and make an integral part of our lives. And as we prepare for Lent, which focuses on that, we need to think about that. We need to concentrate on that. We need to dispose our souls for that reality that above Jesus Christ and the purpose of his coming was for his sufferings and for the redemption by his sufferings. We need to unite ourselves to that in order to be a part of that. And so as we, of course, come during this preparatory time before Lent, we need to try to rid ourselves of those things of the world, the worldliness that surrounds us, the worldliness that has become a part of us, that's creeped in whatever way, so that we're disposed for the graces of that Lent. Lent is a very holy time. It's a special time. It's meant for our sanctification. And we're meant to use it. And we're meant to prepare for it so that we're ready for it when it comes. So let us try during this time as we look forward towards this upcoming season. Let's try to prepare. Let's try to rid ourselves of those attachments. Let's put our focus on what it needs to be, to realize the centrality of the sacrifice of the cross, not only in the liturgy, but also in our daily lives, in what we are meant to do every day. So let's try more and more to focus on that, to realize that by this interesting way in which God has ordained, he meant to the salvation of the world, and that we need to participate in that if we are hoped to ever benefit from it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.